that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wellness right now. Hey, you guys, welcome to Coach Couch and Coffee on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm so excited you got Coach Peggy here today, and I want you to get ready to have so much fun. I have my Unicorn is Queen t-shirt on today, riding it. Soap operas plus animated movies equal real life lessons. I can't make this up. Part one, and we're going to do a part two. So first of all, I do remember that it's April Fool's Day. I do remember that. I'm not going to pull any jokes on you. I know you've had enough at work today. I want to see if my lovely, beautiful guest, Kate, has her mug with her. So this is my unicorn mug today.
Kate, that's gorgeous. Yes.
What is yours, love? What's it say?
It says, the best is yet to come.
It's
my mug that I use for all my high stress moments.
Oh, this is so good. We're talking about stress. That's awesome. Okay, you guys, leading right into that, and that was not rehearsed. April is Stress Awareness Month. And so I decided this, getting ready for April, that I wanted to take a different twist. I am so sick of everybody saying that stress is bad. And so I decided to have my lovely guest here today, and this is Miss Kate Adams, and we're going to talk today, part one, soap operas plus animated movies, equals real life lessons. So let me give a brief introduction. I'm talking a lot, but here we go. Kay graduated from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with a BA in journalism and mass communication. She spent 8 years as the assistant casting director of the Emmy-winning As the World Turns before giving her popular TED Talk, Four Larger Than Life Lessons from Soap Operas. She now works for Walmart and speaks to audiences all over the world and sharing inspirational stories from some of her daytime dramas, audacious characters. I bet you've seen it all. I'm honored to have Kate here today, and she is going to tell us her feelings on storytelling. Welcome. Beautiful. We're not making this up either, you guys. She really did work for soap operas. Hit it, Kate. Go, girl.
Hi, Peggy. Thank you very much for inviting me on your show. I'm really excited about it. Stress is something that comprises large chunks of my daily life. But yes, soap operas have been with me probably, I would say, since I was about six. And for those of you watching the video who see the image, I'm much older than six currently. So I have a lot of experience with soap operas and stress. Storytelling to me, I fundamentally believe everything is story. Every word, every action, who you stand next to, who you don't, who you talk to, what you say, what you don't say. I think that's all a key piece of the story that we tell. So I believe story is everything, and everything is story, and your story is everything. In terms of me branding myself as a storyteller, it sounds a little cheesy and maybe a little asinine, but I hit an inflection point in my life when I was in my mid-30s and I was unemployed, and I was trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do with the rest of my life and how I was going to feed my children. And I started thinking about, what is it that I enjoy? What fuels me? What, you know, kind of makes life tick for me? And all the things, looking back, I've had many different jobs, and all the different jobs, there is a clear through line through from each of them. So I started in television news. I was an information technology recruiter for a minute. I worked in essentially party planning. I was an event coordinator for corporations. And then I went into casting, first at Warner Brothers Television Studios, and then at As the World Turns. And I realized every single piece of that was just another way of telling stories. It was looking at it through a certain lens. So even like it's clear to see my news background, the storytelling there. But even party planning, the selection of what flowers that you're going to choose, how, what the decor is. Do you choose silk shantung or do you go somewhere else? Like, what is the story that you're trying to tell? And so that's, I got a great piece of advice. Somebody shared with me that I should start a blog, because I had no bylines as I went out and tried to sell myself. And I lucked out. It was a combination of luck and hard work, but there was definitely a piece of it where somebody was like, oh yeah, this chick can tell stories and we want to hire her to tell ours. And that launched a whole new trajectory for myself.
Well, you know, it's funny, you guys, because not only, I mean, that's perfect. I think you were put on this planet to tell stories. And I want to just share real quickly how I found you, how you're, we're even together today. So it was about probably a year and a half ago or so. I must have been down and out after Christmas movies, and I don't know, they were over, and that's just my thing. I watch like 32 a year. And so I stumbled onto Kate's Four Larger Than Life Lessons from Soap Operas, and I laughed hysterically through the whole thing. So when I was planning this next month in April, I was standing in my office and I thought, I remember thinking when I watched your thing that I love animated movies and I love the movie Inside Out because it was all relating to emotions and how important that is with kids. And I wish we could teach kids how important. And I was like, I'm going to create a series for my clients because I do 8-week series virtually. And I said, this is beautiful. I'm going to align it with wellness. I'm going to feel the emotions. This is going to be great. Then I said, oh, Kate, life lessons with soap operas. Peggy, life lessons with animated movies, of course, real life lessons. So I reached out to her, I emailed her, and I thought, sure as heck, there's no way that, I mean, come on, this lady's going to say she's going to do this. And she came back and she's like, why not? Because she probably was going to think, I got to use this for my future stories. I didn't think about that. So I went running out of my office and I was like, oh my God, she said yes. And I was so excited. So here we are together and we decided to talk about this two parts. And Kate has an amazing story of how she even came up with kind of the content of your TED Talk, which I think is fascinating. So I want you to take us through that, if you would.
Sure. So I, after life at As the World Turns, I went in an entirely different direction, and I was working for UPS. So all the brown packaged cars that you see, I was a part of that. And I was in marketing communications, and I happened to be part of a brand repositioning launch. And as part of that, UPS partnered with the TED Institute to do UPS or TED at UPS. And the first year that they had this partnership, somebody asked me to apply because they open it up to everyone in the company, and it's like a 6-page application, and you've got to outline what your talk is going to be about and why people should care and like why they should give, you know, a fig about you and, you know, all these things that if you're connected at all to reality, and it's not always great to be connected to reality. And that is a whole other topic and stress relation as well. But if you're at all connected to reality, you're filling this out going, well, why would somebody listen to me? What would I have to share with somebody? But basically what happened is I had restarted my career suddenly in the corporate world, and I was incredibly scared. Everything was, don't screw it up or else you're going to have to start all over from the bottom again. Don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. You've got two kids. You've got to feed them. And I don't want to diminish in any way. I have a wonderful husband too, who also contributes to feeding and caring of
children.
Shout out
to the big guy.
But I don't want to minimize the amount of fear in my life. Mm-hmm. And every little mistake I made, it not so much as catastrophize, but it would magnify in my mind, and I would ruminate over it. And the point of this story is I don't even remember the mistake that I made. That's how inconsequential it was. Mm-hmm. But it happened to be a Friday night and I didn't have time to make it better. I couldn't fix it before I had to go home. And Atlanta, I was living in Atlanta, and Atlanta traffic is just the worst.
Right.
And I say that having also lived in New York City, but Atlanta is terrible traffic. It's tragic. So anyway, I was like, if I don't leave now, I'm going to be sitting on the highway for 3 hours. I have to just go. I can't do anything about it today. I'll just deal with it Monday. And so 45 minutes later, I can still see headquarters. I have made it onto the highway.
Woo!
Yes. I am in park on the highway looking at the headquarters, and I'm like, I just can't escape. And all I could think was, I have to wait until Monday. I have to wait more than 48 hours to try and figure out how I am going to snatch this defeat back and somehow turn it into a victory. And in that moment, I just had this thought of like, this is the Friday cliffhanger. This is the classic soap opera. You see the heroine behind the wheel of the car. She's just driving. Everything is fine. She's concerned about something. And then all of a sudden, you see her twist the wheel and it all goes black and you hear, and you're like, oh, holy smokes, what just happened? And you're like, what? I can't wait till Monday. How am I going to, I need a spoiler. And then, but you don't really need a spoiler because every Monday the show opens and the heroine is in the hospital and her hair is perfect and her makeup is perfect and she's got a cute little bandage around her head with a little dot of fake blood on her temple. And you're like, oh, snap. You mean, really? I could have I could have just like fast forwarded through that whole cliffhanger anxiety. And I started thinking, what if we could stop fearing the cliffhanger,
right?
If we could believe in ourselves the way that we suspend disbelief in these other stories, whether it's animation and you're dealing with, you mentioned Inside Out, so whether you're dealing with characters that live inside an 11-year-old girl's head, or you're dealing with these larger-than-life drama queens and kings.
Right.
So it was the whole idea of just skipping the cliffhanger. And then I just started seeing parallels in my daily life, like talking with one of the senior leaders at work and having one conversation one day and 3 days later, another conversation where I'm wondering, are you the same person? Because I kind of think you're his evil twin. It's like we didn't even have this conversation and you're an imposter. And how do I make sense of this?
Oh my God.
And so I just started having fun with it in that way. And
oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So before you guys, I have Kate, we're not going to take a break today in part one, because this is going to be so much fun, but I'm going to have her go into like lesson one and two from her soap operas here in a little bit, but I want to jump into just animation for a second so that she and I can dance through this gorgeous thing. So you guys, my son was about 22. I mean, he wasn't like four. He was like 22 years old when we watched the movie Up. And again, I've been stuck on animated movies way back when. Won't watch pretty much any other genre. And so we were watching it, and about the first 5 minutes, I remember him sitting next to me, and Carl's wife, Ellie, dies. Like, they don't even wait till halfway through or the end. She passes away, and he looked at me, and he said, a 22-year-old face goes to six-year-olds, and he was like, why are we watching this? This is horrible. Like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I'm not going to keep watching this. Of course we did. And then we, you know, ugly cried till the end. But the point is that every movie that we watch, whether it's Christmas movies, I get hung up in those, as I said, but animated movies, you pretty much know you're going to go up and down with the emotions. You're going to learn some sort of lesson. Mine are much different. My little hobby is different than Kate's, because I don't have to wait from Friday night till Monday morning to see what happens. Like in your world, you did, because I can just fast forward till the end. But there's always a good or a bad guy, so like the evil queen and Snow White. And then there's always a unexpected love story, like Shrek and Fiona come to mind. And then Kate's looking at me like, and then Miguel, who can become a musician in Coco. You guys remember that? That was just gorgeous. And then there are births. Superman was born. And then you guys remember Merida's mother died and became a bear. It was horrific. So before we go into your, see, I'm telling you, I know it. So let's go into your TED Talk. And if you guys have not seen it before, you're going to definitely want to see it after this until before our second part. It's going to be on April 8th. So talk to us about lesson one and two.
Sure. Here so part of what I it was a 3-month process leading up to my TED Talk. And part of the conversation, especially coming from marketing communications, I was really intent on understanding who my audience was going to be, because I was going to, you know, really talk specifically to that audience. And the curator of the TED Institute kind of laid this one on me, and she was like, "Your audience is the world." I was like, "Well, no pressure." But the world hasn't seen soap operas. There are lots of people who watch soap operas, but certainly not everyone. So how do I make this resonant for people who haven't seen soap operas, or and perhaps most in particular, how do I make it resonant for people who have seen soap operas and have bad feelings about them? Like if you look at my talk on TED.com, if you, God forbid, look at the comments on YouTube, you're going to see a lot of negativity.
I have never looked at them.
Oh, it's a good time.
Okay. Part three, we will be back.
In-depth dive on Kate's YouTube comments. But so trying to think about how do I make this come alive for people who don't know these characters? And so I tried to choose iconic moments and or iconic characters in soaps. So the first one is perhaps the most famous soap opera character ever, Erica Kane from All My Children. And this scene actually happened before I was watching All My Children, so I missed it. But I do remember watching the Rosie O'Donnell talk show and hearing her go on and on about it. She even played the clip. But Erica is this kind of spoiled brat, modern-day Scarlett O'Hara. And she's, I don't know why she's in the woods, but she's in the woods and she's camping. And she comes face-to-face with a grizzly bear. And in that moment, she has a couple of options. She can cry, give up, play dead, or she can basically give the bear back what he's trying to give her. Right. And so she screams at the bear, like, "You may not do this. I am Erica Kane." And the bear leaves. And like, it's the most ridiculous, hilarious, winning thing that I've
ever. That did not happen in Brave, just so you know. The bear did not leave.
But to me, the lesson is that surrender is not an option. When you surrender, you willingly end your story. And in soaps and in life, we can't end our story continues until that very last breath. And so are we going to choose to take control of that story? Are we going to choose to go at every obstacle with everything that we have and with every tactic and strategy? Or are we going to lay down and let someone else tell our story? So that's lesson one. Surrender is not an option.
It's not an option.
And the second lesson is sacrifice your ego. And this one people think is hilarious because soap operas are filled with ego-driven characters. Right. But the intent behind this is that there are so many people in life and on screen who are unwilling to betray their vulnerability. And story is all about conflict. And in order to move through conflict, it requires vulnerability. Otherwise, you're just kind of bricking yourself into a tower and you're just closing yourself in and you have the pretense of being safe, but you're isolated. And so for this lesson, I chose, you know, one of the classics of soap operas is two women fighting, cat fights. I mean, like, it's, yes. It's not the most.
What was it, Dynasty? I mean, that's kind of a soap opera, right? What was that one, where you fight in the water?
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's a classic. And these two characters definitely went out after each other for more than 25 years. And it's Stephanie Forrester and Brooke from Bold and the Beautiful. And at the, after 25 years.
So you're killing me.
Brooke stumbles onto this piece of information that this woman who has tormented her for decades is sick. She has cancer. She's dying. She doesn't want anyone to know that she's in pain, that her time is limited, because everything about her, her brand that she's mm-hmm. always put out there, is she is strong. She doesn't need anybody. And so the fact that it is her mortal enemy that comes to her in this moment, and that they developed this most beautiful of love stories as friendship. And, you know, after 25 years of haranguing and harassing and, you know, like, I believe there was a phone cord and almost strangulation involved. But Stephanie actually dies in Brooke's arms, and it's this gorgeous moment. And it's all because Stephanie finally let that facade slip.
Yeah.
And it's so important for us to, in order, like, we crave story, we crave connection. And in order for us to create those connections, to sustain them, we have to let our guard slip. And so as I'm crafting this TED Talk, and as I'm going through it, and as I'm wondering, why the hell should anybody listen to me for life advice? Like, I don't have it all figured out. I've got some theories. But life isn't perfect. And, it, you know, but it's that constant struggle and realization of, I don't have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. I have some theories. I'm going to try this today, and then I'm going to pick myself up tomorrow, and I'm going to continue going on. Surrender is not an option. I have to sacrifice my ego. What do I believe in that's bigger than myself?
Right.
And so, like, these, the lessons that I have extracted, that I take away, and that I then share with other people, they layer on top of one another. So it builds, and it's repetitive in a way, just like soap operas, yeah. Like any story. We don't ever find true resolution. There is always another conflict or layer there. Right. And that's what story is. And so I know your son was crippled emotionally by the opening of Up. But that's what makes the filmmakers at Pixar so brilliant. Mm-hmm. They took a lifetime and they whittled it down mm-hmm. into 5 minutes. Right. And like, you fall in love and then get your heart broken in such a small period of time. And that's what story is. It's that change right. from positive to negative charge, or vice versa. And right. that's what life is. It's, we don't stay positive forever. We don't no. stay negative forever.
No. And it's, you had alluded to it earlier. So in, I'm going to kind of back up a little bit, but in Inside Out, it is about an 11-year-old girl, kind of the evolution of, you know, anybody who's preteen is emotional anyways, but the, just the whole changes of the emotions in and of itself that Disney did. And, you know, the big moments in our life that we have to learn to cope through and kind of fabric and dance and move all those emotions together and get through them so we can get through the roller coaster of life and all the curves and get there. And, you know, her dad getting a job and moving to another town, they had to move, and then the house is smaller, and then give up the friends and try to find new friends. And, you know, so she had joy, and then she had sadness, and then she had fear, and then she had disgust, and then of course she had anger. And so, very much like yours, except it doesn't last 25 years. And I don't think there are any telephone cords that I recall, but it's kind of the same thing. And if we relate it to life, if, you know, you and I chat about wellness in of itself, when you think about either nutrition or exercise or relationships or whatever, I don't mean to be a pessimistic, but sometimes I'll tell my clients, when you're at the top and you're doing great and everything is beautiful, the kids are good, because we're only as happy as our most unhappy child. So if you're having a great day, kind of get ready, because it is going to go down, and there is a turn, and there is traffic, and, you know, just the way it, and there is loss of jobs and loss of a dog and bankruptcy and foreclosure and illness and injury. And that's all those things that happen on soaps. I really think that's why we tune in. I think that's why there's still an attraction to that, is to just go, we can survive. Somebody keeps surviving. Our character keeps thriving. Okay. So I need you to tell me that your TED Talk was what year? Was it 2016? When did you?
Yes.
It's been a bit, right?
Yeah, I recorded it in September 2016, and they released it as the TED Talk of the Day in early December of that year.
Of that year.
So it's been a little more than 2 years.
So we have, we have a couple minutes. I want to ask you. So you've had like 1.5 million views or something, right? Isn't it like insane number? I swear. Or is it higher?
Yeah, it's really flattering and lovely and awesome, but just like, here is the truth of life. And I am almost always the first one to rat out myself, because if it makes for a good story, I will rat myself out.
Yeah.
So here's the, like, if you had asked me, because the day of taping, I was like, just let me get through it without puking. Just let me, because it was my first time ever standing in front of a crowd speaking to them. Like, I'd been on stage pretending to be someone else back in college.
Right.
But I had never stood on a stage and talked just as myself, much less to all of my coworkers and my entire chain of command up to the CEO and
right.
You know, coworkers around the globe live streaming it. My visualization was like, I'm going to just do it without royally screwing it up. My visualization did not extend to, and then TED, like Big TED, not right. TED Institute, but then TED is going to like pick it up and they're going to put it on Delta airplanes and,
right.
You know, just, like it. Yeah. And so crazy things that I did not imagine happened, and I'm grateful for every moment of it. But here's the embarrassing part, is then you get to the point where you're like, well, I only have 1.5 million. And
yeah,
you know, Brene Brown has like 30 million.
Right.
Like, I suck.
Isn't that amazing?
Brene Brown is like amazing. Yeah. And I will never be a Brene Brown. Like, and then you spiral. And it's like, hold up.
Right.
Like, let us focus on the blessings, because there's always comparison. And I may actually get this name wrong, but hopefully it's right. There is was a gentleman named Joseph Albers, I think is how you pronounced his name. And he taught art, and he went into a whole, he wrote a whole book about color. And you can take the same color, and depending on what color you put it next to, it can look wildly different. So every day we choose whether we're going to look at a color in isolation, or we're going to look at a color in comparison to something else. And then is what we're comparing it, does it make our color brighter,
better, worse,
prettier,
yeah.
Or does it make it duller, dingier?
We got to end part one. We are already on part, no, but.
Cliffhanger, what happened?
Oh my God, cliffhanger, you guys. Okay, Kate, I'm so glad that you were here today on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio. And we were talking about soap operas plus animated movies equal real life lessons. You guys, I want you to tune in next Monday on April 8th for second part. Kate's going to talk about third and fourth lesson of soap operas. And I am going to talk to you more about how emotions lay into this and stress and all that fun stuff. Kate, how can they find you?
They can find me on my website, kateadamsmedia.com. And actually in the footer of my website are all my social media channels. I will just repeat that again. Kate, Kate, Adams, Adams, media, CIA.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, you guys, and you can find me at 3wellnesspillars.com. Get on there, shop, have a good time, and we will see you next week, 3 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, and 6 p.m. Eastern. Talk to you then. Bye.